Well, I've got a word this morning I want to share today. I just want to stir you up this morning, kind of like a spoon a little bit, you know, just kind of stir up in your spirit and your soul today. I've got a word that the Lord has placed in my heart. We're going to jump in 2 Kings this morning, chapter 13, verse 15. 2 Kings, chapter 13, verse 15. I'm going to actually read out the Message version this morning. It's going to be a little different than maybe some of your Bibles here today, but we'll have it up here on the screen this morning. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, let's stand for the word here this morning. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 15. If you're there, say amen. 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 And it says this, Elisha told him, go and get a bow and some arrows. The king brought him the bow and arrows. Then he told the king, put your hand on the bow. He put his hand on the bow. Then Elisha put his hand over the hand of the king. Elisha said, now open the east window. He opened it. Then he said, shoot. And he shot. The arrow of God's salvation, explained Elisha. The arrow of deliverance from Aram. You'll do battle against Aram until there's nothing left of it. Now pick up the other arrows, said Elisha. And he picked them up. Then he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. The king struck the ground three times and then quit. The holy man became angry with him and said, why didn't you hit the ground five or six times? Then you would beat Aram until he was finished. As it is, you will defeat him three times only. And we're going to stop right there here this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for stirring us up today. I thank you for faith being stirred in each and every one of us today, Father, as your sons and daughters. I thank you as we step into 2021, I thank you for our faith being full. And we come the year with full expectation, God, that you are a miracle worker. As we sang this morning, a promise keeper, God. That is who you are, God. So I thank you, we get to be a part of the great things that you're doing on this earth right now, Jesus. So I just declare over us today that we are a people of faith this morning. And Lord, we thank you for your word working in us this morning. We thank you for your word, Jesus, in your name. Amen. When I was in, eighth grade, I had begged my dad to play football that year. And I had never played football before. I played basketball, I played baseball. I've done those sports and stuff like that, but I've never played football before. And I begged my dad to play it that year. I'm like, Dad, will you please let me play? Like, all my friends were kind of pressuring me to play it. And he's like, I don't think you're going to really like it. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to be like MVP, like running back. You know, I'm going to score all these touchdowns and stuff like that. I think I'll be really good. And so my dad let me play that year. And I remember the first day going, I've never played before. All these guys have played, you know, years from like being a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old. I've never played before. So they pass out all these pads. And I'm like, I don't even know how to put these things together. Like, where are they going with the pants? So I'm looking around me. I'm like, I don't want to be like the odd man out and like not know how to do this thing. So I'm like figuring it out. And I think I got a couple backwards. And you put on the helmet. And I got the pads they gave me were actually like smaller pads than everybody else. Everybody else got like these bigger pads except for me and these two other kids, because I was like 5 foot nothing, 100 pounds. So I was a little guy to be playing football. And they made me a slot receiver. And I wasn't big enough to really play anything else. And I remember trying to catch the football. I'm like, I don't even know how you can see in this helmet right now, because I was turning around and the ball just went right over me. I lost it. I'm like, this is harder than what it looks. And I'm like, man, maybe my dad was right. And I was like, man, maybe I should quit this. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to move from slot receiver and do defensive line, and because that's what my cousin played. And that was a terrible idea. That was just an awful idea. That was probably the worst decision I made that year, because these guys just like put their hand to me and I just fell to the ground. I mean, I came home with bruises, and I'm like, man, I just really want to quit right now. This is no fun at all. And I remember moving back to slot receiver, and I didn't understand the plays. I'm like, what is a slot right, slot left, this thing, these X's and O's? I'm like, I'm so confused right now. But it came to a place where I really, really wanted to quit. And there was this kid in our class. You know, you always have like the nerdiest kid in your class. We all kind of had some of those. Maybe you're one of them. I don't know. But I think they purposely put this guy on to, we're doing blocking drills. And they gave the guy the pad, and everybody was like just demolishing this guy. And I felt so sorry for him. And it was my turn. And I'm like, man, this is my time to shine. You got this. I'm gonna just show him what I've got right now. And I get up to go to this guy, and I went into him, and I just fell right to the ground. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be, like, in the hall of shame now. This is terrible. And I'm like, did this just really happen? I mean, I was supposed to, like, just demolish this guy, and I didn't do it. And I'm like, at this point, I just really, really wanted to quit. I'm like, I'm just done. This is embarrassing. But I couldn't do it because, you know, I told my dad I would do it and he wouldn't let me quit. But I just really, really wanted to quit because it wasn't what I expected it to be. And I don't know about you today. Maybe you're in that place and maybe you've had the urge to quit in your life. Maybe something's not what you expected it to be that you've been believing God for in your life. Maybe in your family, you've been believing something for God to do and to move. And maybe he hasn't answered the way you thought he would answer it or operate the way that he thought you would operate in your life. And maybe you're like, you know what? I just want to stop believing. I haven't seen it happen in my life. Maybe you're in that place today. You said, you know what? I'm not seeing it happen right now. And you've had this urge to quit in your life. Maybe you prayed like once, twice, or three times, and you said, you know what? I'm just done. I haven't seen it happen yet. God's not come through in my life yet, and you've had this urge to quit. I think we have a really good habit of praying a couple times, three times, and eventually, you know what? Our challenge is we inevitably quit. That's what we do, and we quit right before the breakthrough most times. We quit right before the fulfillment of the promise. We quit right before Jesus steps into our life. At that very moment, we're so close to stepping into what God has for us, and we quit right at that very moment. And maybe you're right there today, and you're feeling that urge here this morning to quit. And you're like, you know, I'm just done believing and praying. I'm not seeing it happen right now in my life. Maybe you're right there here this morning. And that's in the text today where King Joash is. There's the text we read about this morning. Elisha speaks to King Joash, and he tells him to grab his bow and to grab his arrows. And he says, put your hand on the bow. And what I love about it is Elisha puts his hand on King Joash's hand. He puts it over it, which is a reminder that it's not going to come through your ability, your strength, your capacity, what you can do. It's not going to come through your horses or chariots, your bows or armies. It's not going to come through any of those things of victory that I'm going to bring you, but it's going to come through God Almighty. He's the one that's going to bring you the victory, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. He's going to bring you victory in your life. And that is a reminder for us that, man, we can't do it in and of ourselves. We're not strong enough in ourselves, but it's by the Spirit of God who gives us the victory in these things. That's what I love about when I see in this passage. But then he tells him to open up the east window and to shoot his arrow. So he shoots his arrow and he says, this is the arrow of salvation. This is the arrow of deliverance from Aram. And he says, you're going to battle Aram until they're completely defeated. He gives him this word of victory. It's a great word that he gives him. And he says, your enemy is going to be completely and totally destroyed right now. But then he gives him another command. And he gives him a command that says, pick up the other arrows and strike the ground. Just like the command before. But take the remaining arrows and strike the ground. So the king takes one arrow and he strikes the ground. He takes the second arrow and strikes the ground. He takes the third arrow and strikes the ground. And then the Bible says, then he quit. He quit. He quit after that. And I wonder if many of us today, you might be watching today, you might be hearing today, and you know what? God said, the victory is yours, but you quit. God gave you a promise, but somewhere along the way, you quit. That might be some of us today. And it says that Elisha, he was angry. He was upset. He's like, why did you shoot three times? You should have shot at least five or six times. In other words, you should have gave it all you had. You should have exhausted all your arrows. You should have kept going, but you stopped short of the victory. You stopped too soon. You were right there. You should have gave it all you had. And I wonder how many of us are like King Joash. You know, maybe we believe God. We prayed once, twice, three times, and then we quit. We believe God three times, and then we quit. We've worshiped God and be like, you know what? And then we quit. Can I just say this morning? Do it again. Strike again. Shoot again. You said, I prayed. Well, you know what? Pray again. I prayed twice. We'll pray three times. I've been believing God for a month. We'll believe God for 2 months. I've been believing God for a year. We'll believe God for 2 years. Well, I've been standing on the word of God, finding scriptures. That's good. Do it again. I found somebody to stand in agreement with me. That's great. Do it again. I've been speaking in faith. That's awesome. That's good. Do it again. It's not enough just to do it once, but you got to do it over and over and over again. When I grew up, both my parents were music teachers. So the pressure was on for me to do music. I didn't have a choice in my life whether I did music or not. I had to do piano. And if I didn't come out singing or playing some kind of instrument, they probably would have put me up for adoption. I'm just saying. I probably would not be in Nichols today. Thankfully, I could sing somewhat. But the pressure was on for musically in my life. And I remember one year I tried out for the Allstate Choir, and I didn't make it that year. I was like in the seventh grade, and I was going through puberty. My voice is changing, so that's what I say anyways. And I didn't make it that year, and I was like, thank you, Jesus, I did not make it, because I didn't enjoy it too much, because you had to learn all these songs in different languages, and yet I had to practice like 2 hours a day before these things. But my dad made a phone call, and I don't know what happened, but somehow I made it back in. And I'm sure some poor little boy is like, hey, we're sorry, there's a mix-up here. You didn't make it this year, so better luck next year. But I was like, ah. But I had the pressure of being in music all my life, which I love music, and I'm thankful for it. I'm glad my parents are music teachers. But I remember the first time I saw my mom playing the guitar. I was 14 years old, and she was playing the guitar, leading in worship. And I was like, you know what? I want to do that right there. I want to do what she's doing. That playing that guitar, that looks pretty cool. I was playing piano, but I'm like, I want to learn how to play the guitar. And I remember the first time trying to play, I'm like, man, this shouldn't be too difficult, but it was pretty difficult because you got to build calluses on your hands. And I was trying to do the chord formations, and I couldn't get my fingers to move. And I'm like trying to use my other hand, get them to go. I'm like, this is a lot harder than what it looks. And it took me a while to get the hang of it. And I remember trying to strum and like going up and down. I felt like I was doing the robot. I'm like, this does not feel very natural right now. But I was persistent. I'm like, I'm going to learn this thing. I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. And I know a lot of people have started and who quit because it was too hard to do. And I was determined to practice it every day. That's what I did. I practiced my chord progressions back and forth. And eventually I got faster and faster as I went. I was really slow at first. I mean, it took me quite a few seconds to change, but eventually my fingers got trained and I had some muscle memory build up. And they say that repetition is the key to learning. That's what they say. Repetition is a good teacher. And there is something called muscle memory, right? Muscle memory, it's not like your muscles have memory, but your brain has a memory to remember what your muscles do. It's like it has the ability to remember the formation of what your muscles do. And the more you do it, the more you remember. That's why, like, when you learn to ride a bike when you are a child, if you don't ride a bike for 10 years and you get up on that thing, you can ride it because, just ride it down the road because your brain remembers the formation of how to ride that bike through muscle memory. It remembers how to do that. There is something called muscle memory. And oftentimes when we do it, the more we do it, the more it becomes second nature for us. The more repetitive we are, the more second nature it becomes for us. And we do things without thinking, and it becomes instinctually for us to do things when we're repetitive, when we build muscle memory. That's why now I can pick up the guitar and I don't have to think about playing it. Like, I can do it in my sleep now, some chords. Like, it's just second nature. I can do it instinctually without thinking about it. And unless it's E flat. E flat's like in the music world of the devil. You know, it's like G is like the key of heaven, I believe. I believe that's the sound of heaven. Joey agrees with me. That's like the worship team. I give them a hard time because I love the key of G. But it becomes second nature the more we do something and repetitive we are with it. I mean, we do it without thinking. We do it instinctually. And our spiritual life works the same way. That's how it works. When I go into prayer, when I go into worship, when I read the Bible, the more I'm committed to do it over and over again, the more it becomes second nature. And instinctually I do it. And I do it without thinking. When I do it over and over again. So what happens is when life happens, I don't quit and curl up in a ball. The default's going to be faith. It's going to be trust. It's going to be belief. It's going to be worship. It's going to be prayer. It's going to be automatic at that point where I don't give up and crawl up in a ball, but it's going to be faith at that moment. It's going to be automatic when I get in that place. You know, we can be repetitious without being religious. You can be repetitious without having religiosity. Repetition is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. The Bible talks about having a vain repetition where our heart's disconnected and we go through the motions. But there is a repetition that's good. I don't believe it's not all bad. When getting in God's word daily is not a bad thing. Worshiping daily is not a bad thing. Getting in his presence daily is not a bad thing. Doing it over and over again is a good thing. Repetition is a good thing. When I get in God's word daily, when I get in his presence daily, it's not a bad thing. Religiosity becomes a bad thing. But repetition can be a good thing. And they say that insanity, the definition for it, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And I've used that definition. I like that definition. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But what if I say to you today, that's possibly what faith is. Faith is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result than what you're getting right now. How many of you are believing something for God and you haven't received it yet or don't have it yet? What do you do? Do you stop believing, stop praying? Don't continue to pray? Or do you continue to pray, believing you're going to get a different result than you're getting right now? That something's going to happen. I'm doing it over. I'm praying over and over, expecting that I'm going to get a different result in my life than I'm getting right now. It's what it says in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. And if you're praying and not expecting, then it's not really faith. If we're praying and we don't have an expectation that says, you know what, if we say, I don't think this is going to work, then that's not faith. Prayer requires faith. Insanity is just not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But that's faith. Doing the same thing, praying over and over again, expecting a different result than I'm getting right now. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm trusting in his word and I'm believing. I'm not going to give up. I'm praying that something's going to happen each time I pray over and over again. And that sounds crazy to some people. The world may call that crazy, but I think what the world calls crazy, God calls faith. The world thinks we're crazy because we're gathered here this morning. The world thinks we're crazy because we believe in a God that we have not even seen. But I think what the world may call crazy, God calls faith. When was the last time somebody called you crazy? In a good way. Maybe not your spouse. When is the last time? There's a scripture that says in Corinthians, one translation, it says, if we're crazy, basically if we're crazy, we're showing God glory. When was the last time someone said you were a little bit crazy for God? I think we could use a little bit more crazy in our life, because if we're going to see God do things, we've got to have a crazy kind of faith and believe him for stuff in our life, believe his word, to believe him to move in our lives. When was the last time somebody said you were crazy? So I have this idea, because we're supposed to operate in faith, to operate in faith. And to operate in faith, sometimes it requires us to do it over and over again, to pray over and over again. You say, I prayed, well, pray again. I prayed twice, pray three times. I believe God for a month, we'll believe God for 2 months. I've been standing in agreement. Good, do it again. Do it over and over again. Faith is doing it over and over again, expecting a different result. And all through scripture, I see examples of this. People not just praying once, but praying over and over again, expecting a different result. The first person I see in the Old Testament is Joshua. And I'm going to read this out of Joshua. God speaks to Joshua, chapter 6, verse 2. This is the message version. It says, God spoke to Joshua, look sharp now. I've already given Jericho to you, along with its king and its crack troops. Here's what you're to do. March around the city, all your soldiers. Circle the city once. Repeat this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horn trumpets in front of the chest. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, the priest blowing away on the trumpets, and then a long blast on the ram's horn. When you hear all that, all the people are to shout at the top of their lungs. The city wall will collapse at once, and the people are to enter, every man straight on in. God speaks to Joshua here, and he gives him a word, and he says, the city's yours. Jericho's yours, even though the enemy's already still in it. You know, one thing to understand about God, God speaks before we even see it. In the moment he speaks, it is ours. And God speaks to Joshua. He gives him word. He said, the city is yours. But there's still an expectation that Joshua has to do something. He speaks to him. He says, now march around the city. That sounds a little, doesn't make any sense. But he gives him specific instructions to march around the city. So the people look at Joshua and are like, what is the battle plans for today? He's like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together here. We're going to worship our way around the city. We're going to march around the city. There's probably like thousands of people. I'm sure they're okay with this on day one. Day two, they wake up again. It's like, what's the battle plans, Joshua? We're going to do it again, what we did yesterday. And I'm sure they're like, okay, we could probably do this again. So they worship and march their way around the city. But it's probably on the third or fourth day that it becomes more of an issue where they begin to complain and probably murmur. It's like, Joshua, what's the battle plans today? And he's like, we're going to do the same thing again. It's like, okay, hold up here. We've been doing that the past 2 days. Can we come up with another battle plan here? Maybe a different strategy? We're kind of getting tired of this, the same thing again. I'm sure day three, day four, they were probably starting to murmur and complain a little bit about what they were doing. Because I think sometimes God requires us to do it more than once because he's trying to fix something on the inside of us. He's trying to heal something that's broken on the inside of us. Not that he's not wanting us to have the answer. He's not trying not to withhold the answer of what we need or what we think we want or need. But God's trying to fix something on the inside of us sometimes when he requires us to do it again. And here they are. They're on the third and fourth day. They march around the city again, worshiping God. And on the seventh day, God mixes it up. He said, but on the seventh day, I want you to march seven times around it. So basically, God's like, I want you to get rid of all the murmuring, the complaining, the doubt, the questioning. I want you to get rid of all of that. And so that's what they do. And then the seventh time they marched around it, the walls came crashing down. Why? Because they did what God said. And they were willing not just to do it once or twice, but they were willing to do it again and again and again. I wonder if God would do more things in our life if we were willing to not just do it once or twice, but to do it over and over again. Even if we don't see it, we have the faith to believe it's going to happen, to keep on doing it. I see it through Scripture, especially the Old Testament, where God requires people to do it over and over again, pray over and over again. Another example, I see Naaman and Elisha in 2 Kings 5, verse 9. It says this, it says, Naaman with his horses and chariots arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with this message. Go to the river Jordan and immerse yourself seven times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be good as new. Here's another example. I see somebody that has to do something over and over again. If you don't know anything about Naaman, Naaman is this great commander. He has great honor and great respect. He's won many victories for Aram. And this guy is big stuff, really, in this world. And he hears about Elisha, who works miracles from God. And the thing about Naaman, he has a disease, and it's leprosy. So he gets permission to go see Elisha. And he's big stuff. He comes with this big entourage, all these people. And it says Elisha didn't even come out to personally meet him. And, you know, if I was thinking, if somebody really, really important is coming to my house to see me, I'd probably go outside to see him. But it says Elisha doesn't even come out to see him. He sends his servant to tell him, go to the River Jordan and dip in it seven times. And Naaman doesn't have anything with this. He's not liking this. He's got a pride issue going on. He's like, don't you know who I am? And that I'm a great commander. I've won all these victories. And pride prohibits your obedience. It can keep you from receiving the blessing that God has for you. And Naaman has this pride issue. And the first issue he has is that Elisha doesn't come out to see him. He's like, somebody needs to remind Elisha who I am. I'm this great commander who's won all these victories. He has an issue with that. He has a pride issue. The second thing is do I really have to go to the Jordan River and dip in it seven times? I mean, really, can he just lay his hands on me and heal me? I mean, can he just speak the word and I'd be healed? Just like the centurion who he said, speak the word. You don't have to come to my house and I'll be healed. Have you ever had prayed a prayer and had an expectation for God to move a certain way or operate in a certain way in your mind and it didn't go that way? Can I say just let God be God? Yeah. We're not God. He's God. Let God work out the details. Just do what he says. Be obedient to what he says to do and God will work out all the details. But here's Naaman, and his servant comes to him and says, hey, you know, if they would have asked you to do a hard thing, you probably would have done it. They're just asking you to do the simple thing. Can you at least just do this one simple thing? And a lot of times, God is in this in-between of speaking and the answer. God's working on the inside of us. He's trying to do something in here before he does something there. And Naaman has this pride issue that he needs healed of, and also leprosy, both these things And it says he finally goes to the Jordan River and he dips himself once, twice, finally seven times, and he comes up healed. Leprosy is, it's all gone. He did it again, over and over. He was obedient to what God said. Another example I see is Elijah, the prophet Elijah. I believe it's in 1 Kings 18:42. It says, Elisha climbed to the top of Carmel, bowed deeply in prayer, his face between his knees. Then he said to his young servant, on your feet now, look toward the sea. He went, looked, and reported back, I don't see a thing. He said, keep looking, said Elijah, seven times if necessary. And what's going on here is there's this great famine, and God speaks to Elisha and said, there's rain that is there is coming. So what Elisha does is he goes to the mountain and he prays, and he sends his servant to look for rain. And he comes back and says, I don't see anything. And what do they do? He said, well, I guess we just might as well give up. Nothing's coming. He says, no, go look again. Keep looking. Look seven times if necessary. So that's what a word I've got for you today is keep looking. Keep looking. Look seven times if necessary. Keep looking. And that's what they do. He sends his servant to go look while he's praying on the mountain. He comes back, says, I don't see anything. He says, well, go back and look again. Then he prays again. They do this over and over again. And finally, on the seventh time, he comes back and sees something different. He says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah jumps up. He says, you know what? Rain is coming. It's coming. You know, some of the things that maybe we're believing for is going to come through your persistence. It's going to come through your obedience. It's going to come through your willingness to not quit and to push in. And some people might call you crazy and insane for believing God, but I'd rather have the label of being crazy and insane and receive God's best for my life and not receive it at all. Might take some persistence. It's going to take your obedience. It's going to take a willingness to not quit and to push in, to keep looking. You see, when God is going to answer that prayer, because God said it, he is going to answer it. The Bible talks about in Psalm 119, it says, I will praise you seven times a day. Theologians say that when they say up to seven times, it really means repeatedly without stopping. I'm going to continue to pray, praise you over and over again without stopping. It reminds me of the scripture, to pray without ceasing. We're to pray over and over without ceasing. That's our lifestyle, to praise him continually, to pray continually. Proverbs 24, it says, a righteous man may fall seven times, but to get back up again. There's a persistence there. How many times does he fall? Seven times, but he gets back up again. And that might be you this morning. You might be like, I'm on the ground right now. I've screwed up. I messed up. I failed. Just repent and get back up again. You may fail tomorrow, just repent again and get back up again. Just keep getting back up again and again and again and again. The enemy doesn't know what to do with a person that keeps getting back up over and over again, that doesn't quit. That's the difference between people who are still serving God today that are not. They're willing to say, you know what, I'm getting back up again. I'm going to continue to serve you. I know your grace is sufficient to get back up again. Really what I want to say today is to do it again, to keep looking again, to be expecting again, to shoot again, to strike again, just like King Joash, where he stopped. He stopped short of the victory, stopped short of the promise, but to shoot again because you could be right there before your breakthrough. You could be right there before you step in the promise, right there before you step for what God has for you. And a lot of us, we stop short before we step into that. Keep expecting. Keep pushing. Keep looking. And that might be you today. You've had the urge of maybe wanting to quit. Maybe you've been believing God for something in your family today. You haven't seen it happen yet. But keep looking. Keep pressing. Keep trusting. Pray. Pray again. Trust again. Believe again. Worship again. Do it again and again and again. Insanity is not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, but that's faith. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'm believing every time I pray that something is going to happen. I may not see it right now, but I believe when I pray, I believe I'm going to see that thing I'm believing for. And I'm going to trust God with the details, with it all. I'm going to do it over and over again. You say, what do I do when I don't get the results I'm looking for? What do I do? I just have this crazy idea through Scripture that if we do it again, God will do it again.
Yeah.
He will do it again. If we're faithful to pray and to believe and to trust and to operate in faith, I believe God is going to respond, hear, answer, and move when we pray. Faith moves God. He is faithful. I don't know how he's going to do it. Don't know all the details, but I do know he's faithful in my heart. And when we pray, when we're faithful to pray and believe and to trust in him, I believe God will move and respond. And we'll see God do things we never dreamed possible in Jesus' name in our lives. I want to go in 2020 with faith like never before. I want to keep looking. 2020 has been a rough year for a lot of us. I mean, the whole world, come on. It's been a crazy year. It's been a year of disappointments, discouragements. It's been a battle and a fight of faith. And I want to go in 2020 with my faith full. I want to go in looking to see God move, to continue to pray and to believe for God to move in my life and to move in our community and to move in our world, to move in our nation even. I believe in God. I'm still looking. I believe God's not done with America yet. I believe God's about to move. We're going to see some things break through, but we got to continue to pray and believe and to keep looking and to agree with God in prayer. We've seen nothing yet, I believe. I want to be full of faith in this upcoming year. I don't want to quit, but I want to be full of joy, full of hope. And I just want to pray for us this morning. If you want to stand today, Father, right now, if there's any of us today that's been saying, you know what, within ourselves, I've had this urge to quit. I felt defeated. I felt discouraged. I felt knocked down by 2020, just a lot of stuff going on. And I've stopped praying. I just stopped believing. I've been discouraged. And Lord, I've been struggling with some of this, Lord. If that's just some of us today, I just want us to raise our hands in faith this morning and says, you know what, I'm going to walk in 2021 full of faith. I'm going to walk in 2021, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to look again. I'm not going to stop short of the promise and what God has for me and the victory that he has for me and the breakthrough that he has for me. We're going to walk into 2021 of people of faith, and we're going to see you move. We're going to see you respond. Lord, we know you're going to hear and you're going to answer, and maybe we don't understand when or how, but we're going to trust you in the details through it all, God. So I think for some of us, we're going to pray again. We're going to trust again. We're going to believe again. We're going to worship again. We're going to speak faith again. We're going to stand in agreement with somebody again. We're going to do it again, over and over again, because we know at some point, we're going to see the breakthrough. At some point, we're going to see the answer that we've been believing for. We will see that because we know you're a faithful God. So I thank you today for many of us. We're going to have many breakthroughs in the upcoming days. Lord, as we stand in faith and become people of faith, I thank you, God, for breaking through in our lives, breaking through in our families today. Things we've been contending for, God. I thank you, Jesus. I just declare over your people today that they are mighty people of faith today. Your sons and daughters. And I thank you for us walking full of faith today out of this place. Lord, you stir us up and work in us through your Spirit this morning. Lord, we say we trust you today. We believe you today. We know that you're able today. It's not through our power, through our strength, through our ability, but it's by your Spirit today. It's your power. It's your strength this morning today. So I thank you today that we are people of faith, that we trust you. We thank you today. We thank you for fulfilled promises. We thank you, God, for breakthroughs. We thank you, God, for you moving and responding and hearing that you are a faithful God. You are a promise keeper, a miracle worker. That is who you are today, God. So I thank you for many miracles in the days ahead coming through us as your sons and daughters to this world around us today, Jesus. We thank you for doing this work in us this morning, God. And if there's anybody here that says, you know what, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning, I want to receive him in my heart. I want to go into 2021 with Jesus, Lord of my life. If that's you today, I just want you to lift up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Amen. All saved. That's a good thing. Well, Father, I just right now declare over your people today. I declare that we are people of faith. Lord, that we're not going to quit. We're not going to back down, but we're going to press in, be persistent. We're going to be obedient to your word and your spirit, God. So I thank you that our faith is going to be contagious. Lord, as we leave this place, God, that people are going to catch our faith and the hope that's inside of us, the joy that's inside of each and every one of us, the fire that's in each and every one of us today. God, I thank you that people are going to catch it around us. So today we just trust you. We believe you. We put our faith in you, God. It's your God Almighty. And I thank you today for doing this work in us this morning. We thank you for making us people of faith today, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen and amen.